Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy GD. In this episode, I'll be doing my end of season recap, particularly on those non-playoff teams, and we'll just give you a rundown of the playoff slots as it goes, including the play-in. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, guys, it's your boy GD back with All Things Basketball with GD Podcast. And guys, before I go into anything any further, I just want to thank everyone for listening and checking out my 200th episode. And again, I want to give shout outs to my guy Raphael for providing the platform for me, providing the studio, that is, to do my 200th episode. Raphael of White Label American Podcast. You can go check him out. He's on all platforms. Then I got to give a shout out to my other brother in podcasting, Tide the Pod Guy, for coming out and braving the Saturday commutes and so forth. So definitely want to give him his love. You can find him on all platforms as well. And also my friend of the show, you hear me talk about him, D, someone I've known many years now. And of course, you see our banter back and forth when it comes to talk about basketball. So I thank him for coming from another state to come and join the show. So definitely appreciate him as well. So with all that said, guys, we have reached the end of the NBA regular season. Just finished wrapping that up, and I'll tell you how everything fell, and then we'll talk about the non-playoff teams. And then also I wanted to cover the Naismith class of 2024. So we'll do all of that. All right, so let's get into it. Let's start in the East. In the East, of course, as I said on the live show, Boston number one in the East and throughout the NBA. In fact, they were that impressive, guys. And then in second place, my Knicks put on a furious run down the stretch and ended up the second seed, getting 50 wins, by the way, which is something we haven't done in over a decade. So definitely kudos to my Knicks for getting that second place spot. Milwaukee Bucks, they fell to third place. They had a tough stretch of games going down the stretch, especially that OKC game, and then the last day of the season getting trounced by the Orlando Magic. Then in fourth, the Cleveland Cavaliers, which actually that's where they were last year, so kind of in that same spot. Fifth place, Orlando Magic, one of the surprise teams in the league, getting that fifth spot there. Again, like I said on the live show, Jamal Mosley has turned that program around. Got the young guys believing, trusting in each other, and they're definitely overachieving, that's for sure. In sixth place, where they've been most of the year, really, the Indiana Pacers and all that they've done, the offensive juggernaut they have been. Then you have in the play-in spot, seventh place, the Philadelphia 76ers. Of course, Embiid is back, so there'll definitely be a handful once you have the big man back in play. Then in eighth, Miami Heat. Of course, Miami is always dangerous this time of year, led by Jimmy Butler, of course, Bam Adebayo. You have a healthy Tyler Hero now, so definitely going to be a problem there. Then your ninth place team, the Chicago Bulls, who seem to turn it on late in the season as well, in your ninth spot, and then Atlanta holding and sealing that 10th spot in the East. Let's move to the West. Going into that last game of the season, well, it was a three-team race at the top between OKC, the Denver Nuggets, and the Minnesota Timberwolves. And when the dust all settled, Oklahoma City Thunder, guys, they end up being the top seed in the West. Talk about a changing of the guards there. But Oklahoma City Thunder, ascending to the top spot in the West. A lot of kudos and respect to, of course, their leader, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, a MVP candidate nonetheless, and also the coach over there, Mark Daigneault, who I think is the runaway coach of the year. I know I tried to make a case for Tom Thibodeau, but I think it would be criminal if Mark Daigneault does not get the coach of the year. And of course, you have on that squad Chet Holmgren, who had a fine rookie season, Jalen Williams, Josh Giddey, and Luke Dort, and that whole squad over there. So definitely kudos to them. Denver, still dangerous, guys, even at that two spot. Of course, them playing on their home court is always a problem with that high altitude. The Joker and those guys, defending champions, will be primed and ready for a postseason run. Third, the Minnesota Timberwolves, who held on going down the stretch. So you got to give a lot of credit to Chris Finch and how he has prepared those guys. Karl Anthony Towns is back now, so we'll see how they do. Anthony Edwards, of course. You got your anchor in the middle, Rudy Gobert. You got a cagey veteran like Mike Connolly over there. So they will be a force to be reckoned with, that's for sure. Then in fourth, the LA Clippers. A lot of people are high on the Clippers, possibly making it out of that Western Conference, of course. And we said it on the live show. A lot hinges on the James Harden that we'll see come the postseason. The Dallas Mavericks, another dangerous team, guys, who got really hot down the stretch. Luka Doncic, an MVP candidate there. Kyrie Irving playing very well. You got to give him his credit in that regard. And that backcourt is just carrying this team. And they'll have that intriguing matchup with the Clippers. I'll talk about that when I do my breakdown in terms of the first round, breaking all that down. Then in sixth place, Phoenix, who were teetering around the play-in, were able to ascend and get that sixth spot, that all-important spot, because this gets you out of the play-in. Of course, led by their three-headed monster, Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal. Of course, health is always the key with all three of those guys. So as of now, they look healthy and ready for these playoffs. Then your playing situation, guys. You have the New Orleans Pelicans, who were right around the sixth spot, but that last day of the season really hurt them. But nonetheless, Willie Green, you know, I talk about him as well, the coach over there, getting that team primed and ready. And of course, Zion Williamson being healthy, very important to the team's success. They're getting Brandon Ingram back from his injury. Of course, you got a veteran like CJ McCollum over there. You got defensive stalwarts like Herb Jones and Jose Alvarado. And of course, their three-point bomber, Trey Murphy. And the man in the middle, Giannis Valanciunas as well. So they're in that play-in spot. Eighth is the LA Lakers, of course. You know who's over there, LeBron, AD. So it'll be a very important matchup between them and the Pelicans. And then in that 9-10 spot, the Sacramento Kings will be facing the Golden State Warriors. Sacramento, of course, with De'Aaron Fox, DeMontis Sabonis. They are a little hobbled at shooting guard position, due to the injuries to Kevin Huerter and Malik Monk. So we'll see how others can rise to the occasion. Guys like Keegan Murray, Harrison Barnes, Keon Ellis. And then Golden State in that 10th spot. Could this be their last hurrah, guys? You got Steph Curry over there. You got Klay Thompson. Let's see what he has left in the tank. Draymond Green, provided he stays the course and stays on the court, guys. And, of course, incorporating the young players has really helped them as well. Guys like Jonathan Kuminga, Brandon Pozemski, Trace Jackson Davis over there as well. So we'll see what happens with those Warriors. So that is your playoff picture, guys. Let us talk about non-playoff teams. We'll start at the very bottom, guys. The Detroit Pistons. Condolences to my guy, Ty the Pod Guy. That's his team. The Detroit Pistons finished 14-68. Whew. So he was right. They didn't even win 30 games, let alone 20. Cade Cunningham and Jaden Ivey, that backcourt over there, never really materialized as many thought, guys. Cade is still the leader over there. Make no mistakes about that. Again, and I mentioned this in the live show, is something about Coach Monty Williams and Jaden Ivey. They never seem to see each other eye to eye. And I'm putting it out there, guys. I think he gets dealt. Then again, we got to see what's going on in that front office with the GM, Troy Weaver. Got to see what happens with him, whether he stays or goes. But they do have bright spots, guys. Some of the bright spots, Jalen Duren, their center over there, who's a walking double-double. Also, Osar Thompson, one of the Thompson twins that has come in the league. He showed flashes that he's a certified NBA player, so I'll be interested to see what he does in his sophomore year. Simone Fontecchio, he's somebody who showed some flashes of being a player as well. So you got some pieces over there. There's so much you got to add and bring to the mix over there. So we'll see what happens for the Pistons. Next up, the Washington Wizards. At 15-67, so just a game better than the Pistons. This was a team I was highly disappointed in, guys. And a large reason for that, Jordan Poole. He was a major disappointment over there, guys. I thought they had a solid backcourt over there between him and Tyus Jones. They are desperate for center help, guys. They've rotated centers in and out of that lineup over there. You started out with Daniel Gafford, then you go to Marvin Bagley III, then you had Rashard Holmes that you brought in via trade. They need to solidify their center position over there. Guy like Kyle Kuzma, he got his numbers and so forth, but yeah, I don't know what happened over there. Maybe they need a new voice in the locker room, who knows. There are bright spots, Dene Avdija. He was one of the bright spots over there. It seems like he is now, his game has blossomed. So there's definitely some promise there. Corey Kispert, he had a nice showing this year as well. So there are some pieces there that you can build upon. What happens with Jordan Poole, I think, is the major key to their offseason, guys. He has really fell off a cliff. So with that said, let us move on. The Charlotte Hornets finishing 21-61. And guys, will they re-sign Miles Bridges? That's the big question, guys. Who had a solid year, guys. 21 points, over 7 rebounds, over 3 assists for him. Are they going to commit to him? You know, he had the trouble off the court in terms of the domestic violence and so forth. Will they commit to him long term? That is a huge question. And then the second one is, which might be bigger than the first, what to do with LaMelo Ball. He only played 22 games this year, guys. He played 36 games the previous season. So what happens as far as him? And then remember, too, guys, he gave him that huge rookie max contract. So this is somebody that they're banking on who you must have in order for this team to go forward. I don't know what they do in terms of his health and so forth. You hope it's not anything hereditary because look at what's happening with his brother, Lonzo. So we'll see what happens in terms of what Charlotte. I don't think as much they can do. You can't really trade him because who would be the takers? Bright spot is, of course, Brandon Miller, their rookie who had a fine season there. Vasiljevic Micic. I thought when he came in and played the point guard position, he gave them something a little extra there. So what they do in terms of the point guard position, could he be a candidate and you move LaMelo Ball to the off guard position? That would be intriguing, but we'll see what happens. But a lot hinges on the health of LaMelo Ball, so we'll see what happens with those Hornets. Then we'll talk about the Portland Trail Blazers, who also finished 21-61. DeAndre Ayton, he just had an injury-riddled season, guys. I thought this would be a year where he would kind of be free to be himself, but with the injuries, that wasn't the case. He only played in 55 games, guys. Anthony Simons, another guy with an injury-riddled season, 46 games for him. Jeremy Grant, who you just signed to the huge contract in the offseason, 54 games he played in. And then Shaedon Sharpe, your second-year player, only played in 32 games. So a lot of injuries. And then remember, too, the rookie Scoot Henderson missed time as well. So it was just a season full of injuries for the Portland Trailblazers. So Chauncey Billups, you know, he's got his hands full in that regard. So I'm pretty sure you can't charge this to him. It's just one of those things, guys. But there was a bright spot over there, and that's Delano Banton, a guy they acquired via trade. And he actually showed some flashes over there, guys. So could he be a part of that future over there? Who knows? Especially given the fact you'll probably move on from a guy like Malcolm Brogdon. So there could be room for Delano Banton over there. So we'll see. The San Antonio Spurs, a team I think with a piece here and there, I think could be right there in the mix. Wemby was as good as advertised, guys. I think he's the runaway rookie of the year. I don't think I'm speaking out of school when I say that. But they need a veteran playmaker over there to run the show with their offense. I think if they have somebody like that, I think you could see a major bump in the standings for them. Because they have all the requisite pieces. They're just young pieces. They need some veterans over there. The bright spot, Devin Vassell, who they gave that huge extension to. He had a fine year over there. He had some injuries here and there, but overall, I think he's a valuable piece to put alongside Victor Wembanyama. So, hey, Greg Popovich, he's still hanging in there. I think he's wants to get this team back up and in contention again. I think he'll stick it out until that job is done. But San Antonio Spurs, I like their future. If they're able to make a few additions over there, I think they'll be fine. Toronto Raptors, who finished 25-57, they're picking up the pieces now that they traded stalwarts like Pascal Siakam and OG Anunoby. So they're trying to piece it all together now. Their bright spots, Scottie Barnes, who had an all-star campaign, but then went down with injury back in March, and things went downhill from there. RJ Barrett, who is now going to be one of the major building blocks over there, who actually played very well coming over to Toronto. So I think he'll be fine. The question is, what do you do with Emmanuel Quickley now, who had a fine showing over there after the trade? But remember, guys, he's a restricted free agent. So I think there'll be a lot of people who will try to sign him, and we'll see if Toronto matches it. But Emmanuel Quickley is, I think he's proven himself to be a legit point guard in this league, that's for sure. Then we'll talk about the Memphis Grizzlies, who finished 27-55. I think this is kind of a redshirt year for them, guys. You were without Ja Morant. He only played 7 games for you this season. Marcus Smart, he only played in about 20 games himself. And then, remember, Desmond Bane, he missed a chunk of time, just about half of the season as well. I wouldn't do anything crazy over there. Taylor Jenkins, I think he'll still remain in place there. You did have bright spots coming out of this season. G.G. Jackson II, I thought, really showed himself this season. Also, a guy like Scottie Pippen Jr., a fine guard over there for them. I'm sure he'll be part of that future over there. And Jordan Goodwin, one of your draft picks there that, given the opportunity, showed you a little something. So Memphis, I think, will be fine. You just need all your pieces back in place, and you definitely need Ja Morant for a full season at least, or most of it. The Utah Jazz, I just think they're kind of in a holding pattern, if you will. 31-51. Mind you, they only had 55 games with Lauri Markkanen. Remember, guys, that was the knock on Markkanen coming into them acquiring him in that Cleveland trade. the fact that he has an injury history. But this year, only 55 games for him. When he's out there, he's golden. But the fact that he misses a lot of time is problematic. You did have a comeback season for Colin Sexton. He looks like his old self now, which is definitely a good thing for them. Walker Kessler, I thought, had a disappointing season, guys. Not sure what they do in terms of the future with him. Your bright spots, Omer Yurtseven. He played actually very well for them at center, so it's going to be interesting to see what they do going forward at the center position because, again, Walker Kessler didn't play all that well, but Yurtseven came in and seemed like he was able to man that position. And then Keontae George, their rookie, played very well for them guys. Then we go to the Brooklyn Nets. Right now, I know Kevin Ollie finished the season as coach, but they're now looking at coaches to bring in. Guys like Mike Budenholzer, which would be... I think Budenholzer should probably go to a more veteran team, to be honest. But they are looking at a guy like Jordy Fernandez, a assistant coach over there with the Sacramento Kings. He's getting high praises for his work over there, working with Mike Brown. So he could be a guy who ascends to that position. We'll see. Right now, that team's in a transition period. Now, the aftermath of not having a Kevin Durant, not having a Kyrie Irving over there. What to do with Ben Simmons, guys? He only played 15 games for them. He has one more season at that high contract. I guess you have to bring him back and bring him into training camp and see what you have. But I think his days of getting huge contracts are over. And even aside from the injuries itself, it's where is he from the neck up? I think that's the bigger question. Of course, your bright spots are Mikal Bridges, who's been their star player over there. Cam Thomas, who led them in scoring this season. He's a walking bucket over there. And their promising center, Nick Claxton. And then the last team I'll talk about, the Houston Rockets. A team I think is on the come up, guys. Jalen Green, he really had an amazing turnaround. That month of March, right around the time Alperen Sengun went down, he really performed, guys. Then that's what gives me hope for the future. If you can incorporate what he did with what Alperen Sengun was already doing, a guy who I thought could have been in the most improved player conversation. Definitely that combination there will definitely show you something next year. M.A. Aduka, given the situation, I think he did well, all things considered, in that tough Western Conference. And also, yeah, bright spots like Jabari Smith Jr. Looks like he seemed to have figured it out. And also Amen Thompson, the rookie over there. I love what he did this season for them. Houston Rockets, I think, is a team that next year you're really going to have to start worrying about. I thought they could do something this year, but that wasn't to be. But that's okay. But I think they're going in the right direction. Let me just say that. All right, guys. So that will tie a bow on the non-playoff teams. I did want to talk Naismith Hall of Fame right quick. Right now you have your class of 2024. And in that class, heading it, Vince Carter, who played the 22 seasons in the league, most of those with the Toronto Raptors and then with the New Jersey Nets. Then after that, he kind of bounced around multiple places like the Dallas Mavericks, the Memphis Grizzlies, the Atlanta Hawks, the Orlando Magic, the Sacramento Kings, and also a stint with the Phoenix Suns. But Vince Carter, you know, he has all those nicknames. Half man, half amazing, Vinsanity, Air Canada, but one of the most prolific dunkers of our time. A guy who won Rookie of the Year. He was an 8-time All-Star, twice All-NBA. But to me, it's a tale of perhaps maybe half of those years where he was like a all-world player, probably a little more than that. Maybe about 15 seasons where he was like a solid, if not all-world player. And then after that, he just kind of bounced around, which I think pulled his average down in terms of his scoring. But nonetheless, A guy who came into the league 1998, the fifth pick overall out of the University of North Carolina. Vince Carter into the Hall of Fame. Then you have Chauncey Billups, a leader of that Detroit Pistons squad. Played 17 years in the league, mostly with the Pistons. Another 5 seasons with the Denver Nuggets. And then he kind of bounced around a bit, whether it be Memphis. Mind you, he was first drafted by the Boston Celtics. Also played for the Clippers, Toronto, and then had a year stint with the Knicks. But, of course, we know him as being that leader of that Detroit squad that overtook the mighty Lakers, and him being the MVP of that series in the finals. And then making it back there again the following season, only to lose to the San Antonio Spurs. So, Chauncey Billups, out of Colorado in the 1997 draft. He was the 3rd pick overall, guys, so there was promise there. He just didn't pan out in Boston for reasons unbeknownst to me. 5 times an All-Star, 3 times All-NBA, and then twice on the All-Defensive team. Chauncey Billups, now in the Hall of Fame. Michael Cooper. Now, guys, I'm of the opinion that Michael Cooper is getting into the Hall of Fame not only for what he did. I think it's more than what he did as a player. I think he's getting in for what he did as a coach in the WNBA as well. How he led that LA Sparks team to a couple of championships over there. So I think it's a cumulative reason that Michael Cooper's getting in. Yes, he spent 12 years with the Lakers. He came in that 1978 draft. He was drafted in the 3rd round. So 12 years with the Lakers. His career average is under 9 points a game. Of the 873 games that he played, he only started in maybe about less than 100 of those. He's mostly a bench player, guys. But he did win a Defensive Player of the Year. He was 8 times all defense, 5 times first team, by the way, and he's a 5-time champion. So I think it's one of these instances where he's getting the credit also for his coaching. So if that's the case, he's more contributor than he is getting in as a player, to me at least. So I think they miscategorized him. He's not getting in solely as a player. Let's put it that way. The late Walter Davis played 15 years in the league, mostly with the Phoenix Suns, known as the Greyhound. He came in that 1977 draft. He was a 5th pick overall, just like Vince Carter, and just like Vince Carter out of the University of North Carolina. He also played for the Denver Nuggets and also a brief stint with the Portland Trail Blazers. Rookie of the Year, 6-time All-Star, twice second-team All-NBA, and he passed away November 2nd, 2023, guys. So he gets on the ballot, becomes a finalist, and he's put in post his death, unfortunately, guys. But Walter Davis, he was a baller. I saw him play. He was one of those quiet guys who can destroy you on offense. So Walter Davis, he gets into the Hall of Fame. Bo Ryan, the coach of many years in the state of Wisconsin, 32 years to be exact, in a number of locations, but mostly at the University of Wisconsin. He was a 4-time Division III champion over there at the University of Wisconsin, Platteville. He's 4-time Big Ten Coach of the Year. 15 times he made the NCAA tournament, and twice he made it to the Final Four. Overall record, 747 wins against 233 losses. So Bo Ryan, he makes it into the Hall of Fame. Charles Smith, not the Charles Smith y'all thinking. He is a 9-time state champion in the state of Louisiana. High school-wise, at Peabody Magnet High School. He has over 1,200 wins. He's the winningest coach in that state, and he makes the Hall of Fame, guys. And then also for the Women's Committee, Simone Augustus, 8-time All-Star in the WNBA, 4-time champion, playing for the Minnesota Lynx over there. She went to college at LSU, and she was drafted in 2006, first pick overall. She makes the Hall of Fame. International Committee selects Michelle Timms out of Australia, who won bronze in 1996 and then silver in 2000. And she played in the WNBA 5 years. Also, the Men's Veteran Committee selects Dick Barnett, 14 years in the league, most of those with the New York Knicks, 2-time champion. He made 1 All-Star team, and he's getting in the Hall, which gives that Knicks dynasty, if you will, of those 2 championships, gives them 9 Knicks, whether it be coach or players, that has made the Hall of Fame. Pretty awesome stuff there. Then also, the Women's Veterans Committee selected Holly Rendon, and he was the coach at Wayland Baptist back in the 1950s and 60s. He had a overall record, 431 wins against 66 losses, guys. And then as far as your contributors go, Kerry West, he gets in as a executive. He had stints with the L.A. Lakers in their front office, the L.A. Clippers, Memphis Grizzlies, and the Golden State Warriors. 2-time Executive of the Year winner as well. Doug Collins, getting in as a player, coach, and an analyst. 4-time All-Star as a player in his 8 seasons with the Philadelphia 76ers. And, of course, coaching a number of places, including the Chicago Bulls and also the Washington Wizards. And then his analyst work for many networks as well. And then Herb Simon, the owner of the Indiana Pacers. He's been owning them since 1983. 8 Eastern Conference Finals they've made. 1 championship appearance during his stint. So, guys, that's your Hall of Fame class. Now, it seemed like I've been seeing a lot of them lately. The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. They're talking about this Hall of Fame class, who belongs, who doesn't, and things like that. They question Michael Cooper being put in. They question Chauncey Billups getting in. It's more Rob Parker than Chris Broussard. Question Vince Carter getting in and how everybody could get into the Basketball Hall of Fame and so forth, and that they should have a separate Hall of Fame, an NBA Hall of Fame and a Basketball Hall of Fame. And I say that's ridiculous. You already have this in place. You don't need a separate NBA Hall of Fame. You don't need that. I just think you need to clearly define whether a person gets in as a player. Like, for instance, Michael Cooper. I think he's more contributor than he is actual player. And the reason I say that is because I think the Hall of Fame has included in his resume his time in the WNBA as a coach. And if that's the case, guys, I think it won't be long before, and a lot of people will cringe at this, that Bill Laimbeer will be a Hall of Famer one day. I truly believe that. What he's done with the Pistons, albeit a lot of people will cringe at his style of play, but I think what he's done for the women's game of basketball is another reason he gets in, guys. What he did with the Detroit Shock over there, winning those championships, what he has done in building the foundation with the Las Vegas Aces that you see today, I think he gets credit for that as well. And overall, what he's done with women's basketball as a whole. So I think one day Bill Laimbeer will get in. But that's an aside. You do not need another Hall of Fame, not solely for NBA. You don't. I just think you need to clearly define the reason the person is getting in. I think that's where the confusion is. Chauncey Billups, I have no issue with him making the Hall of Fame. His team won a championship. He was the leader of that team. He was the finals MVP. And then they'll want to say, oh, what about Cornbread Maxwell? He won a finals MVP. What about Andre Iguodala? He won a finals MVP. But look at the resume, the full resume. Chauncey Billups has a Hall of Fame resume, whether you like it or not. Cedric Maxwell, not so much. Andre Iguodala, I think if you thought about his time at Philly and Denver also, maybe he gets consideration. Yeah, I think it's overall resume that has to go into consideration. But nonetheless, these guys are in, and that's the way it is. Rob Parker's barking up the wrong tree yet again. He needs to look into his baseball Hall of Fame. They got more problems than the basketball Hall of Fame. So he needs to look at the baseball Hall of Fame over there. So with that said, that's it for me. Once again, I thank you for listening. Always appreciate it. And we'll talk soon. Take care. Hello, guys. Thank you so much for following and supporting the All Things Basketball with GD podcast. You can find us at allthingsbasketballwithgd.com. Also, you can email us at sportsdudegd@gmail.com. You can find us on YouTube, All Things Basketball GD. Like or comment on our videos there. You can follow us on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. You can follow me on all podcast platforms, including Spotify and Apple, where you can leave a review. Support us, guys, at my donate page on my website. There I have a Buy Me a Coffee button, PayPal button, and a Spotify button. Also, you can cash at me, $GD, that sports dude. Thanks again for listening, and take care.